Accession number 30403, Mr. Andre Codin, Reel 7. Now,
I deserted. I had enough money. I went to a, there was a place there, you know, you could see it, they were letting rooms and whatnot, right? It wasn't a hotel.
Now, had
it was
you
a pension.
Had you deserted or had you gone AWOL?
Yes. Absent without leave.
Yeah, well, there's a difference. Which had you done? Had you gone AWOL or had you deserted?
I just ran away.
AWOL means you had every intention of going back. Deserted.
Oh, yes, I didn't have any intention of deserting.
No, so you were going AWOL, right?
No, I went absent without leave.
So where did you go? You hitched into...
There was that pension. I could see there was a pension there. I went in there and I booked a room for a night. And then I started thinking. And now I've got to tell you, that's why I asked you if you wouldn't like to switch it off. Because what I did, I remembered something with pleasure. And I had enough money and I made my way down to Torquay. Because I had spent once one of my holidays in the YMCA in Torquay. Right? And it's a lovely place. And in that holiday, I had made the acquaintance of a very charming lady. Right? And I don't want to go into details on that. Because
No, you don't need to. No.
But so you went to made my way down there, and I contacted that charming lady, and she put me up. And I stayed there for 6 weeks till it became a little bit too much.
What do you mean too much? Were you worried or just you'd had enough of staying there? Were you worried about being AWOL or had you had enough of...
No, I wasn't worried about that. I was very safe and I was well fed and well treated. Her desires.
So what happened?
And there was also her mother made threatening remarks about notifying the police and whatnot. So I went back again. And I just made my way all the way back to where we were stationed. And luckily enough, they were still there. And I walked into the guard room and I sat down. And I said, I've come back.
So how were you punished? How were you treated when you
Well, what happened was, the commanding officer, he was a nice chap, I must say. He was very understanding. And he knew the background. He was quite nonplussed that I had run away. Right? And I proved it to him, and he was right. He asked me, he came up in front of us, brought up in front of him, brought in, marched in, and he then asked me, will you accept my punishment? Right? And I told him, as long as I'm not confined to barracks with this unit, because of the sergeant major, because I knew he was going to make my life hell. And he said, all right. And he sent me to detention barracks. He gave me 6 weeks detention in Sour Bay, that's up near Halifax. There was a detention barracks up there in Yorkshire. And I served my six weeks up there, and funnily enough, it was as true as anything, because there was a saying in the army, when you come back from detention, you've got such a good, you know, you were given such a rough deal there.
What was it like at Sowerby Detention Barracks?
Oh, it was...
It's in Yorkshire, you say?
Yeah.
What was it like?
It was very rough.
In what way?
In many ways, and in especially in my way, because, again, the fact I was the only foreigner there, and the colonel called me in once, because all the mail that came was censored, right? And I had no mail from anyone, but that lady from Torquay wrote me a letter. And he called me in, and he gave me a telling off. And I didn't know what he was on about. Apparently, she had written a real pornographic letter. He was telling me off. He told me he thought I was in touch with her, you know, that sort of thing.
And
that got round, and the staff sergeants in the barracks, they gave me hell afterwards. One day I had to do something which was really, you know, which you only read about. They gave me a wheelbarrow, and there was a heap of sand in the corner on the square, on the exercise square, and I was told to move that heap of sand over to there. And I was really, you know, there, and they yelled, quicker, march, and all the rest of it. And when I finished, I thought I'll have a rest. I was told to take it back again. You know, it's unbelievable, but it does happen. And that happened to me there. But the other typical thing that happened, when I got back to the unit, I was promoted.
Why?
Well, because like the saying goes, if you survive the detention barracks, right?
So what
you had a good drilling.
So what were you promoted to?
A corporal.
Were you a lance corporal before?
No.
You just went straight to corporal?
I was just a sapper.
Now, you know this trouble you're having about being foreign? Was it being foreign or being Jewish? Do you see what I mean? In other words...
Welsh lad, he mentioned it. He said, I hate bloody foreigners. Right? And being Jewish... it didn't come out because I was brought up, you must know, in Austria before 1934, before the uprising, when the Social Democrats were there, there were all sorts of progressive innovations. For example, in the school, you didn't have to have a religion. You had to be this or that. You could be a free thinker. Right, which means that you did not take part in any religious instruction. And my father, being a radical sort of socialist, we were three free thinkers. Right? So religion, you know, I respect anybody's religion. I say everybody should be free to practice his religion, but he should not enforce it onto somebody else.
So you didn't appear particularly Jewish because you didn't observe any Jewish traditions.
But I got myself into trouble in the detention barracks, because what I did, I noticed that people were taken off parade to go to church parade, which meant they were not square bashing, right? And when they called out the Catholics, I took a step forward. And towards the end of the week, they called out the Methodists. And who stepped forward? There was Andy Cody stepped forward. Till, I think, the third or fourth time, one of the staff sergeants noticed it, and he went, had a go at me, he bellowed at me, "You're no bloody..." He chased me back into the ranks. So I stopped doing that.
Now, what was your job in there? I mean, you were a corporal. What were you actually doing in the Royal Engineers company? Do you see what I mean? What were you doing?
Wasting time.
But the company must have been... I mean, they have... I mean, the unit must have had a role. What was it doing? I mean, it was probably training, but what
well,
was it
we
meant
were
to do?
Training, you know.
For what, though? I mean,
we got later on, this last company was in, we got workshop lorries, right?
Hang on, which company is this?
Engineering company, right?
The
engineers. But we were fitted out with workshop lorries, right? And there were lathes in there, Right, and we did a lot of jobs in there, you know, whatever it was for, I don't know, we got some stuff sent over. There was an artillery unit next to us. They sent us some rubbish which we had to repair and that sort of thing. That's what it was.
So it was a sort of repair, a fitting unit, an engineer.
Yeah.
It wasn't a field company.
No, it wasn't a field company, the last one I was in.
Which is the last one? Is that the one you were at Grimsby?
Hmm?
Is that the one you were at Grimsby?
Yes. Yeah.
So what happened next then?
Well, then the time came of the Normandy invasion.
So that's
they took us all down
so
to
you,
a...
So you were with the same unit for basically 3 years, 2 years.
Yeah. And...
So tell me about the Normandy invasion. What happened?
Well, we were taken down to the concentration area, you know, near... Before that, we were taken to the Isle of Wight. They were preparing the Pluto, line? You know, the
oil line.
Pardon?
The oil line.
Yeah, the Pluto, yeah. And we worked on there. I was stationed on the Isle of Wight, near St. Helens.
Now, what St. Helens sounds wrong. There isn't a St. Helens on the Isle of Wight, I don't think.
Yeah, there's a St. Helens there.
So,
are you sure there's no St. Helens?
If you say it's St. Helens, it's St. Helens. What exactly were you doing?
Well, we were erecting these tanks. You know, the petrol tanks, right? And doing the camouflaging. As a matter of fact, that was the first time I went up in a plane. Because they took us up in a plane to have a look how well we had camouflaged, you know, to show us the faults and
And what could you see?
Well, it was very well done, really, you know, from an aerial view, it was very effective. The work we did. And that's what we did there. I'm sure it's called St. Helens, you know, on the Isle of Wight. Not far away from Ventnor. Not far away from there.
Okay. Now, I was thinking of the one in the north of England, but I don't know the Isle of Wight that well, so it's probably...
Well, there's a St. Helens in Lancashire. Yeah.
Not that one. Okay, so what happened next then? That's getting towards the end, before you go to... where were you called? What centre were you sent to before D-Day?
Well, shall I tell you quite honestly, I don't know. It was in the woods. We were there for several weeks. And the only thing I can remember is that I became very popular in the company because we started getting free... issue of woodbines, and I don't smoke, right? And everybody jumped up to me because I used to give them away.
You never smoked?
I never smoked. Well, I did once put a fag to my mouth when I had a girlfriend.
But you didn't generally?
And because I tried, because she was smoking, and I hated it, and I begged her, and Maggie, I said, don't smoke. I said, you know, kissing you is like kissing an ashtray, you know. And but she persisted. She promised she won't. And the next time I came on leave, because I stayed there again, she smelled of that tobacco. And I said, look, I said, Maggie, the next time I come, and you smell of tobacco, I'll never see you again. And then she promised. The next leaf I had, there she was, with nicotine-stained fingers. Well, I hated it. I hated it. I still hate it now. I can't stink.
So what happens next then?
Well, then we were got onto the boats and shift over, went to Arromanches in Normandy.
And what do you remember of the crossing? When did you go? When did you go over? You didn't go on D-Day, did you?
Not on D-Day. No. It was about a week or a week and a half after D-Day.
And what do you remember of the crossing? Anything?
Nothing, just a great tension or expectancy, you know, how's it going to be? Yeah. And I was very I expected, you know, with great expectancy, now we're going to do something, you know. It was a hellish relief and a great joy.
So what happened when you got to Arromanches?
Well, we waded ashore and carried on, you know. I can't really tell you. We came under fire. And
who from?
Well, the Germans.
It's slightly unusual to be on fire on the... I mean, if you're in the Arromanches area, that's a long way behind the line by then. I mean,
no, but we were... there were German planes over, right? And we also came under fire under cannon fire
Artillery fire.
Artillery fire.
So what do you remember of that? What was it? Well, it was your first time under fire, I suppose. How did you find it?
I didn't shoot myself. No, it's just you just took cover and that was it.
Now, what were you actually doing?
Well, we had to take our position. At that time, the British troops were moving towards Caen, pushing towards Caen and Lisieux. Lisieux-sur-Orne. Yeah, it's a river there. And we were equipped with Bailey bridging that came after us. And we were supposed to build some Bailey bridges across the River Orne to enable the British troops to cross over.
Now, you haven't mentioned Bailey bridges. Had you done training on these?
Oh, we did. I should have mentioned that. We did that way up in Yorkshire. We practiced building Bailey bridges.
And what do you remember about did you actually erect one across the
Orne? Well, yes. Well,
how would you actually do it? Can you explain it to people who wouldn't know? Because a lot of people don't know how they work now.
Well, the panels that are all there, the pins are there, the thing, you just it's like doing a giant what do you call the children's game?
Lego, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, what do you...
The kids,
huh? The kids play with it. Yeah. Well, they wheeled it with panels and you dragged your guts out, you know.
So what happened... what do you remember of your time out there?
There were many, many little episodes.
Tell us a few. Tell us a few to give us an idea of what life was like.
We were next to us was a Canadian, a French Canadian outfit, and we appreciated that a lot because after a short while they not only shipped their supplies over, but they sent over. Their equipment compared to us. They sent over their showers. So we made use of them. That was terrific. Not only that, they also had a mobile laundry. And they accepted our dirty pants. And there's a very terrible thing that I experienced.
What was that?
Do you know the Normandy is known for the hedges? Yeah, they call the country the Bocage, right? A Bocage is a hedge. Yeah, and we were advancing once, and we came to one of these Bocage things, and we got in there, and what did we find? There were about 20 French Canadians had been lined up against one of the hedges and executed. Their weapons, now, it was murder. It wasn't war. It was murder, because the evidence around there, you could see they had stacked their weapons in one corner, right? And haversacks and whatnot.
Okay, carry on.
They had obviously been surprised, because, you know, their equipment also, which we didn't have, they had sort of hard spirit cubes or things, and they were able to light those and heat water and make themselves a cup of tea or coffee and eat their right? And they had obviously been doing that, or on the brink of doing that, when they were surprised and lined up and executed.
By the Germans?
Yes. Huh? It wasn't a casualty, it was murder. You know, they could have taken them prisoner, but in that situation, obviously they thought they couldn't be encumbered with prisoners. Right? And that's what they had done. And it embittered us so, it made us so furious, right? That 3 days, I think about 3 days later, we surprised members of the Hitler Youth Panzer Division, right? Tank, you know, they had tank brigade, and four members, and we shot them.
And that's just revenge, as far as you were concerned.
And we assumed that they were responsible, because they were in that area.
Now, I think we better leave that, because I can see that's upsetting for you. So I don't want to, you know, dwell too much on that, because we don't want to upset you. Any other stories of things that happened, you know, things that happened at that time?
I don't know if I should. Do you want to switch off for a moment?
Well, no, there's no point if it's not recorded, you see what I mean. If you don't want to tell it, don't tell it. Any other that you can tell us?
In the meantime, things happened. We pushed beyond Caen, where we were held up for quite some time. And I was blown up.
Now, when did that happen? August?
Can't remember.
Was that in the advance?
Yes, it was in advance.
Now, how were you blown up? Tell me that story.
Drove a jeep over a mine. And I was wounded.
Were you driving the jeep? Were you driving the jeep?
I was driving the jeep.
What was it like when you, I mean, what's it like being blown up by a mine when you're driving a jeep?
Well, it's...
What happened to you?
Well, you just... You just don't feel anything at the moment. You know, you just lose all sense of... equilibrium, you know, you just bang, you know, you just, and you just touch yourself and you you delight that you're alive. You don't know what happened to you yet.
Had you been wounded?
Yes.
What had happened to you?
I had a... I don't know if you can feel it here, but if you feel it in here...
Just explain it to them.
There's a flesh wound.
Just below the left armpit.
Yeah, just here. And they took me back to the field hospital. And I was lucky because I always... the medical aid told me, I always carried with me for... sanitary reasons, a big pack of toilet paper, because I hated using newspaper or leaves or whatever, or none at all. And I used that to still the flow of blood. And they told me, you saved your life with that, because it was a deep flesh wound, and the flow of blood was with that. Anyhow, in the meantime, lots of things happened. I think we reached Brussels already then.
That's August, September. So you were in the hospital August, September time.
Yeah. And when I came back, when I was ready I was not sent back to my unit.
You weren't sent back to them?
No. And I was sent to Brussels, into a beautiful house on Avenue Ter Vuren, that's in the center of the town. I was transferred to the field security. They were dying searching for people with linguistic abilities.
Now, what is the field security? It's field security what?
It's a part of the intelligence school, the field security branch.
Now, which part were you in? Was it just called field security branch?
Field security,
Was there a smaller part you were in?
Yeah, it's a small unit. You know, we were a small unit.
Now, what was the composition of the bit you were in? Do you remember who was in it? How many? How many officers? How many men?
There was a captain and a lieutenant, a sergeant major, and then... half a dozen blokes. That's all.
And what nationality were they? Were they like yourself, Austrian or Polish?
No, there was two other Austrians there, and all the others they were British.